T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Stop the last time. This kick will be a return. This is Pringle, former K-State star, on a right return across the 40-yard line. He's up to the near side at the 45, pushes by the wall. 40, 30, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown! Kansas City, Byron Pringle! And the K-State fans that are Chiefs fans can rejoice for a second straight day. Pringle filling in for Hartman. Bust a 102 to taste the sweet nectar of the end zone.
One of two touchdowns that did not come from the offense yesterday. Of course, Pringle's return there. Mitch Holthus on the call. The other Dan Sorensen's pick six. And you'll hear Mitch Holthus coming up tonight. Chiefs Kingdom Show, 6 to 7. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire going to be his guest. You want to hear from the rookie running back? That's coming up from 6 to 7 tonight with Mitch Holthus. And also don't forget to pick up your $5 chicken bucket from Hy-Vee. Legs, or you can do the chicken strips, chicken fingers as well. Fantastic stuff there. And Therese Paylor's got his show, Therese Paylor's show, 7 o'clock, followed by the Red Reaction Show with Dusty Likens at 8 o'clock. It's a Red Monday here presented by Comcast, Cody, and Gold. Alice Gold, Cody Tapp, Steven Serta with you. And that call there from Mitch and that play in particular from Byron Pringle was, like, when you look at the Chiefs, they had found offensively other ways to win football games throughout their now 6 wins on the season, really the prior five wins, that they had prior to this game. And it was about, you ran the ball 46 times to get a win against the Buffalo Bills, for example. This was the first game where every form of the team stepped in. All three phases stepped in, special teams, defense, and offense. And they found a way to win with their offense not converting a single third down. Like, that's not normal. That's not a habit you want to get into. But it just showed this team found another way to get it done. It was Dan Sorensen. It was Byron Pringle. It was Turk Wharton, you know, making some of the biggest plays.
Wharton actually played pretty well.
Yeah, like some of the biggest plays of the games. Different guys stepping up. And that's why I think you heard a question asked to Andy Reid in the noon hour from Fesco or to Andy Reid about EB's comments from a week ago about W's and L's, but how it's team. It's not individual performances. Yesterday's game was a good representation of that again, because of the guys that stepped up and the fact that you didn't need the offense to go off. You found ways to get points, manufacture points from your defense and from your special teams.
I think, and that's, it's another one of those games where I'm like, that was a blowout, right? They won by a bunch. Like, when I have questions about how they played offensively, like, why am I having those questions? I'm like, just put them to the back of your mind. It doesn't matter, right? Because I think this is how a lot of people felt about the Packers last year. Maybe even at times Serta felt about the Packers this year. He's talked about that team where they rack up wins and wins and wins. And sometimes you walk away and you're like, am I even that impressed? Like, they housed the Broncos. And that wasn't one of those games where I'm like, like, obviously the pick six is impressive, the Byron Pringle, but I know those are, like, not consistently counted on things. The consistently counted on things in that game, you're like, they were fine, I guess, for most of it, and won easily, and could have won, by the way, by double digits, even if that pick six didn't occur, even if that kick return didn't occur. And I think what it is, but the difference is between those two. Like, I think about them comparing to, like, even the Packers last year that racked up a bunch of wins and nobody really believed in, because nothing seemed like it was, wow, look at this team dominate the way we expect NFL teams to dominate when they're great. Is the Chiefs have the ring. So they can do that. They can play this way. In the end, my statement is going to be, they have hardware to back up playing even like at times when it's like they won by 30 and I'm like, they could have played better. And like, and the reason why one is because I have a high standard for what this team could be, but because occasionally sometimes they played a few games this year where it's felt a little bit like that, but it doesn't matter because I still walk out of the game being like, they are easily dismissing almost every team they play. They got rid of the Texans, no problem. Ravens, no problem. Right? Bills, no problem. Now we take on this, you know, we go into this week against the Broncos, no problem. Right? The more games they've played this season, they have had four games in which I feel like it was practically stress-free. Like, there weren't as many impressive moments of the game, but I walked out being like, I mean, they didn't even have to try here. It's just like a walk-in birdie. It didn't matter.
That win yesterday, offensively, I still feel like if we're going to continue to talk about where this offense we think it can be, we have to also remember the same conversation we had about the defense last year. Because you had more faith clearly in the offense anyway, because you had Patrick Mahomes. But my point being, the defense, it took 11 weeks for them to all of a sudden get everything rolling. And I know the expectation coming in was this Chiefs offense was going to be historic and all that. But I still think what it proves to me and actually makes me feel good about this team is, one, not only are they finding different ways to win, but they have an offense that we know can be so much better because we've seen it time and time again. We know it's there.
Sure.
I mean, the personnel is virtually identical. In fact, it's better. It's better. Now, Sammy Watkins is hurt right now, but it's better when they're fully healthy because you have Clyde, obviously, and now you add in Le'Veon Bell, and we still haven't seen his full effect that he's going to have on this team going forward. So the wiggle room still is there for the offense to get better, which is still why if you're another team in the league, even if you're Pittsburgh, you're undefeated and all that, where you're saying, like, Pittsburgh might be playing at their best already. Personally, just watching them.
They
might be playing their best. The Chiefs, nobody thinks the Chiefs are actually playing their best football. And the players sure as heck don't. If you listen to their comments
Of what they're doing, I think, are their best football. But yeah, majority.
Okay, what would you say is their best already?
I think they're already at their maximum running ability. I mean, now with Le'Veon too, I guess. But they ran the ball really well.
They have, but I don't know if you can say they're at their... Yeah, I understand they had 46 carries.
I think they are. 2,200.
No, but...
Leading rusher team? I mean, between the two of them, they're on pace
for
like...
six carries of an offense that has Bell in it. So I can't say they're at their peak.
Carries. Yeah, I just think that this is what... Like, I think at their best... Like, how each guy runs, I got enough of a taste of that on that. He averaged 6.5 yards a carry. I don't think he's doing better than that for the rest of the year.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire
averaged 6 yards a carry.
You're talking about actual flat-out, like,
rushing yard. Like, through the pace of, like, them actually getting in the piece. Sure.
Yeah, like, you're
Travis Kelce's probably playing as best as I think he can. The offensive line isn't because they're hurt. I think the defensive line probably is as a whole. I know they've had bad games, but we've seen like the maximum version, the best version of the defensive line because they're the same as they are the last 2 years. But there still are big targets. Yeah. Linebacker, cornerback play,
Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that can still get better.
I think it's six or seven, maybe even more than that now, straight games of touchdowns for Tyreek Hill, but he still hasn't had a 100-yard receiving game this year. Serta pulled up the numbers before the show, and I get one, was it 99 yards? Okay,
yeah.
All right, we'll go ahead and give him that one technically. But other than that, Tyreek Hill hasn't had his huge game yet. Patrick Mahomes hasn't had his monster performance.
380 and four touchdowns is pretty monster.
Okay, he had the one.
Just be clear.
Yeah, fair enough.
380 and four touchdowns is a pretty monster game. I know it's not like 506 because he's Patrick Mahomes.
Well, usually he's had two or three of those, though.
But that's the one game you feel like you can point to where you say, okay,
they played their
best. That's where they looked the best. And I do still think this offense is at its best when you're just trying to put up points and you're trying to throw the football. Because like if you look at, you know, all the advanced analytics, whereas like the past 2 years, the Chiefs were like number one running away in terms of early down passing, pass to run ratio and stuff like that. They're not anywhere near that this year. The Seattle Seahawks are like number one, shockingly, in all of those categories. And we're seeing Russell Wilson put up an MVP caliber season when they're actually letting him throw the football finally. But I do think there's something in the idea the Chiefs just haven't done it. Like it's shocking Tyreek Hill hasn't had a 100-yard receiving game. He would have had one against the Raiders if that touchdown didn't get called back because of a penalty. But yeah, like it's shocking that Tyreek Hill hasn't done that yet because that's what he does. He breaks off long touchdowns. He has these huge yardage totals, and it's because they just haven't needed to do that. I think they can turn that on whenever they want. The Raiders, they let it get out of hand a little bit before they tried to do it, and then they just were making tons of mistakes. But they're fully capable of doing it. I still think that's the best part of this team that we haven't even seen fully develop yet.
Tyreek Hill would be pacing for 10,003 yards. So just like barely, like a Brandon Cooks season.
1,003.
Yes, sorry, okay. Not 10,000, 1,003. So like that's it. That's all he'd be pacing for right now. Travis Kelce obviously being the one member of the offense who's pacing at an incredible pace.
Yeah.
Just generally speaking. But yeah, I mean, it does feel like there's more. Yeah. It does feel like there's more, which is a great sign because you just beat a team by 30.
It is, and it'll pay off later in the year because now they have found ways when they haven't had the monster game from the offense, and they know their defense can go and win them a game. They know that special teams can go out and make a play if needed, not just solely relying on Patrick Mahomes. Now, we know if come playoff time, there's going to obviously be a game or so or more where they're going to need Patrick Mahomes to have the game that you expect from an MVP and in games that we saw during the postseason. But they haven't had those crazy, fortunately, the crazy, crazy deficits in the same way that they had the three straight games there in the postseason where Mahomes had to take over. It wasn't going to just be the defense. It was going to have to be Patrick Mahomes. But, yeah, it's just been a weird – like, this was just – this game against the Broncos, honestly, was a weird game overall because you look and it's 43-16.
Yeah.
But it was just a weird game the way everything developed. And yeah, you have 10 minutes where Mahomes isn't even on the field for good reason. And that's because, you know, Locke's got the pick six and Byron Pringle's taking one back to the house on a 102-yard kickoff return for a touchdown. So the Chiefs get the win over the Broncos, 10 straight now over the Denver Broncos. My goodness. And continued domination there. So that was Chiefs. That was Broncos. What else did we learn, though, across the National Football League in Week 7? There's still one more game tonight. Bears and the Rams on Monday Night Football. But to me, what else do we learn outside of Kansas City? Got to go down to Tampa. Have to go down to Tampa and take a look.
You're going to talk about the Bucs.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And it's Brady and the Bucs are the most complete team in the NFC. It's not close. Seattle, even if they would have won that game.
You would have called me crazy if I had said that before the year. You were not on that side.
No,
so this is a bold statement.
They are ahead of schedule because my thing with the Bucs, I felt like by the time they get to the midway point of the season, I guess it's not too far away. But when they play the Chiefs, for example, like at the beginning of the season, I felt like, all right, they get to week 12, 15. It's going to take this group of guys time to develop. They're way ahead of schedule. The defense had been good from the beginning for the Bucs, but the offense looked like a serious work in progress. Now, they would still tell you they're a work in progress, but it looks like it is rolling right now down in Tampa. Two big-time wins for them. The latest was the Raiders, but more importantly, the week before against Green Bay, what they were able to do. And so, yeah, the Bucs are a problem in the NFC, to say the least. And what it also makes stand out more is now what we're seeing with New England. And so as good as the start as it was for the Patriots and how impressive Cam Newton was, and I know there's the COVID issues and not practice all have absolutely factored in. But the Patriots, the talent or lack of talent is really, really standing out there in New England. And I agree with you. It's not a discussion to me that necessarily is a fair one anymore because both Belichick is far enough in his career. Brady's obviously not 30 years old, 28 years old anymore. And so to have the whole Brady or Belichick, who is it kind of thing.
The last couple of years, I think we have the answer.
But looking at this, man.
That's had like 9 players opt out.
For all the props that the Patriots got and the criticism that the people were giving to other teams that didn't sign Cam Newton, I know it's actually kind of a balance, 3 really good games from Cam and now 3, you know, kind of 3 games and certainly a terrible one this past week. The Patriots made a mistake letting Tom Brady walk, in case you were wondering. Like it's pretty like as good of a deal as it seemed that they got for Cam Newton, and that's why it's okay because they're only spending like $1 million on him. Yeah, it's another reminder, though, that Brady looks like he's not 43 years old or however old he is now. And Cam Newton, it was a nice couple-week run, but we can all relax on the Cam Newton, he should be an MVP, and how stupid was everybody else. Cam is now becoming very, very average very quickly.
The problem that Bill Belichick had is when other teams have let go of Hall of Fame quarterbacks at their end of their career, you know what they had behind them? Other great quarterbacks. Just, I mean, legit, go through the list. Oh, the Colts let go of Peyton Manning. Well, they just so happened to have him hurt and then luck into the number one pick with Andrew Luck, one of the highest rated quarterback prospects in a very long time, who obviously was a very capable NFL player. The Packers let go of Brett Favre. You're like, what are you going to do? Well, they just happen to have a future Hall of Famer Aaron Rodgers coming up behind him, right? When the teams seemingly walk away, like, hell, even go back to when they let go of Drew Bledsoe, a quarterback who was playing near the top of the league, who was a former number one overall pick. Who do they have behind him? Tom Brady. When you let go of quarterbacks who are, especially like late, Joe Montana, who do they have behind him? Steve Young. Like, when you let go of future Hall of Famers, you better be damn sure you have that answer. This is the thing I keep talking about with other teams at quarterback all the time. It's like, what are you doing? Like the Falcons, I don't care. Their quarterback's old enough. Start having your backup plan. It's why I didn't blame the Packers as much for Love. It's like, you might want to start having the next plan. Because if you're going to let go at any point of future Hall of Famer, like if you're going to let go of a 41-year-old Tom Brady, you better damn sure have the quarterback. And they didn't. I learned a few things around the league. But one of the things I learned, you might not think this is the team that I would have thought of just yet for when we were going this list. But as I walk through the rest of the NFL, the National Football League, Kyle Shanahan is still a top five coach in the NFL. I know you're going to say, like, I'm sorry, what? For that bad 49ers team, they have been, we talk about some of the injuries other teams have had. The 49ers have lost everyone. They went out their starting quarterback for a stretch, multiple running backs, multiple wide receivers, defensive ends, corners, safeties. Whoever has been on their team, they've been hurt. Yeah, they got blown out by a Miami Dolphins team, boat raced 2 weeks ago. But they housed the Patriots. They beat a very decent Rams team. This team is far, they barely lost to the Cardinals. This team is more competitive than it even deserves to be. They're going to finish with like 6 or 7 wins, and it's not going to look that impressive. But considering what they started with on paper, this is an incredible coaching job by Kyle Shanahan. When I watch him yesterday, essentially coach with a similarly injured.
You only think they're going to win two more?
Team? No, I mean,
I think 4 wins already. They're going to win more than 6 or 7.
Maybe. But they do have a difficult schedule because they got Seattle and the Packers and the Saints.
Is nuts.
And the Rams and the Bills. These are their next 5 games, Gold. So,
well, it's because everybody in the NFC West is going to have their divisions.
Like, their problem is related to that. But the fact that they're even at 4 wins right now, considering the thing, Kyle Shanahan is an incredibly good coach. Incredibly good. If he ever gets like the right quarterback to go with it, because I do not think Jimmy G's the guy, he's going to be dangerous.
I told you, I still think they're going to trade for Sam Darnold in the offseason, but that's just my
They should trade for Matt Ryan. Yeah.
I think that Kyle Shanahan's the second best offensive coach in the NFL behind Andy Reid. Probably the third best coach behind Reid and Belichick.
I think he's a top five coach in the NFL, and nothing in this year has swayed me.
It's been incredible how they've navigated all the injuries, not just defensively, which is where they really got hit. And then now, you know, this backfield that they have is an absolute mess with injuries every other week or so and banged up. Jimmy Garoppolo is still not 100%, but they've kind of catered the offense to get Jimmy G in as good a position possible. It's been awfully impressive, and it's been neat. Like, in a division like that, there's a chance 4 teams could get in there. The Niners aren't going to win the NFC West, certainly, but they have a chance still to be that 3rd or 4th playoff team that gets in this year out
At
of the NFC
two
West
are
because
in. Yeah, minimum 2. Won last night, you'd think that they're getting in. They're 5-2.
Yeah, the Cardinals in a really good spot. The extra playoff team this year helps the odds of that, certainly. So, yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I was thinking of the top. So you said Shanahan top 5. So who else is in your top 5? Reid, Belichick, Tomlin, Pete
Harbaugh.
Carroll, Harbaugh.
Not Carroll.
You don't have Carroll in your top 5 coaching.
No. I don't. Well, I'm sorry.
He's letting Russ cook, though.
Finally? The hell took so long? You don't just get credit did it one time.
You think Pete is right outside then? Because Pete Carroll,
like
obviously Pete's got a ring. We know
he's
that.
Like
7. So like,
yeah, it's not the only judgment for me.
Interesting.
He's like
'cause
7.
I agree with you. Like Harbaugh, Belichick, Reid, Tomlin.
Harbaugh is a better coach than him. I think Tomlin is a better coach than him, so there's my 5.
It's interesting that you have him, and you're just thinking, obviously you're not just thinking offense, but that you would already put Kyle Shanahan in the top 5.
I would, because I think he's a better coach than
so
Pete
Carroll. Who would you kick out then?
Like, I know
Reid,
that we can
Belichick,
make
Tomlin, Shanahan, Harbaugh, is that your 5?
Yeah, that's probably the list. Without having it directly in front of me, I have
Reid,
to
Belichick,
think harder,
Reid, Belichick, and Tomlin, to me, are no-brainers, top 5 coaches in the league.
No one, and
Harbaugh, I'm sorry. It's
really hard
because
Tomlin has been so consistently good. How could I ever argue on the other side? It's not Sean Payton. It's not Doug Peterson. It's none of those other names you would toss in there. Shanahan's right at the top. That's probably it. That's probably, he's probably 6. That's probably around
the range. Why are you saying the 49ers can't win the division? I'm just banking off of how good the rest of the division is, and they still are playing undermanned, as good as Kyle Shanahan's been.
I'm not saying it's mathematically impossible. Like, I'm just saying it seems like a long shot.
Yeah, I mean, the Seahawks, Packers, and back-to-back weeks with an undermanned team is going to be awfully tough, right?
Yeah, just for division starters, with the Seahawks, the Rams,
and they're already,
the Cardinals.
And they're already behind it. It's not like they're in front right now. They're already behind it. If they had a little lead and then all these injuries happened, that would be one thing. But you're asking, they still have ground to make up with this group. It's been awfully impressive the fact we can even have that conversation still. The 49ers.
Of course, that's why I think he's a top 5 NFL head coach. But no, I'd put those guys above Carroll even.
I learned a lot of things from you. Yesterday was the best Sunday of NFL action all season. There was points everywhere. What do you guys want to talk about? You guys want to talk about James Robinson being a top five running back in the NFL? Because he is right now. He's been a baller. We can talk about T. Higgins.
This is why you do not take Leonard
Fournette. Been an incredible rookie wide receiver, T. Higgins. And he might not even be the best rookie wide receiver. Justin Jefferson didn't even play this week, and he's been awesome. This rookie wide receiver class has been absolutely incredible. Russell Wilson, even though he threw three picks, he's still the front runner for the MVP. He's got 22 touchdowns already. He's still been absolutely incredible. We haven't even seen the best version of the Ravens yet. They didn't even play this week. They still aren't starting J.K. Dobbins for whatever reason, but Mark Ingram's eating carries and hurting his value every week.
Queen's gotten better, too. That team is, like, quietly scary. Yeah, Although, their schedule is somewhat soft.
I told you, I refuse to be concerned about the Baltimore Ravens. Sorry. Just refuse to.
Look at him just brush off.
Ngakoue hasn't been that good this year, but he's going to be better with that.
Heading into the Ravens game, I said if the Chiefs beat the Ravens, and I didn't even expect them to beat them.
You're just essentially not taking them seriously until they can beat them.
They're a big problem for everybody else. They're not a Chiefs problem.
It's a non-Chiefs issue.
The Ravens are not a Chiefs problem. They're a problem for everybody else. A big problem for everybody else. Not a
James
Chiefs problem.
Robinson. And I'm not saying, like, if obviously people knew James Robinson was this good, they would just draft him. But there are way too many examples of great running backs in the third, fourth, fifth, seventh, undrafted, that you should never, and I do mean ever, take a running back in the top 10 in the NFL draft. It is so stupid. I do not care if it's Adrian Peterson. Do not waste your time or pick. Okay, it's so dumb.
You're
I hate it.
You're not wrong on your. I agree with you. The only thing, I think James Robinson's the wrong example for you, because my point is James Robinson is having a great year. He's undrafted, but he was undrafted for a reason. Like, it was, if they knew he was going to be this good, then he would have been.
He would have been
a third round pick or a first round pick.
I understand,
so you're not
that.
Wrong, but Robinson's but the wrong example.
But it's Robinson. It doesn't matter who it is. Robinson, Eckler, Kareem Hunt in the third.
Well, no,
I don't care who it is you're talking about.
Third round or so. But to say
there's just no business taking him in that point. No, I know what you're saying. I didn't say never take a running back.
Because I agree with
you. Robinson would have been drafted, and he should have been drafted if they knew what he was. Just not in the top 10 like stupid people do.
Correct. Yeah, like a third round pick or whatever, or a pick 32 overall when you have the luxury of everybody else, and if you want to be the Chiefs and go out and get Clyde, absolutely. But just the idea that, like, oh, you can just get any undrafted free agent and they're going to be this guy, was some people were trying to make that point. Like, that's a little bit much. Coming up in 90 seconds, Serta has another fantasy flash, and he will take a look at that backfield in San Francisco. What on earth do you do from a fantasy, and who do you trust there? He'll take a look at that. Plus, we get to what's trending in the Rays. What a thrilling Game 4 win the other night.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio. What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics. Trending.
Number one, of course, the Chiefs win over the Broncos yesterday, 10 straight now against Denver. Special teams touchdown, Byron Pringle, a pick six from Daniel Sorensen. You heard from Andy Reid in the noon hour today. And remember, on Mondays, he exclusively can be heard here on 610 Sports Radio. He was asked about Mahomes and the development of him specifically, just not forcing things here in year three.
Yeah, well, listen, he doesn't miss much. And so when he sees something and you see him pull back, it's in front of all of us. That might have been a time when he would have thrown it and it maybe hits a guy in the side when he's not looking. So something like that. Now he'll take that sack or try to escape and get what he can get. Might not have done that when he was younger. And it's not necessarily his fault. This might be that somebody's new and, are learning and something happens, So, and then we go back and we all get on the bench and we figure it out and try to get it right the next time.
Not worried about the numbers. We know we can put up 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards. We've seen it done before. You tweeted out earlier today, Cody, his pacing numbers. Now, they're still awfully impressive.
4,300 yards, 37 touchdowns,
and
two picks.
Two picks, yeah. So
that's just passing, 377 and five touchdowns on the ground.
Yeah, I mean, so, look, it's a difference. There was that sequence. Apparently, he was talking to Tyrann Mathieu about that. Like, in a game, the way they were frustrated with no first downs, that would have been in the past, he would have maybe forced something. Maybe it would have caused a turnover.
Younger, wiser. He's like 25.
He's 25 years old. That's Bill Moss when he joined us. He's like, say that you're younger Mahomes? He's still only 25 years old. Well, that's still year three for him as a starter in the National Football League.
He was. You never get younger. You only do get older. So it does check out. Number two. for what's trending. The World Series game five last night. The Dodgers took the 3-2 lead. Game six, not until tomorrow. They have an off day. Ideally, game seven, if needed, on Sunday. It was a moment on Saturday that Kansas City was talking about, where Brett Phillips came up in the ninth with a chance to win it for the Rays. He did.
Jansen. That is into center field. Here comes Kiermaier. Phillips has tied the game. A Rose Arena coming around. Throw home. Now he stumbles. But the ball gets away. Tampa Bay wins it. Brett Phillips, game four hero.
A moment that brought to light some people asking the question again. Should you have sent Alex Gordon? Because Arozarena was dead to rights.
Of course.
Ball squirts away. Arozarena does a loop-de-loop, somersault, slides into home plate, and the game's over. Obviously, the Dodgers won the one last night, but ideally, this thing will go seven because the last two games have been fun.
This whole series has been just absolutely fantastic. Great call, by the way, from Joe Buck there on that play. Like, that was a perfect call from him, and really cool to see Brett Phillips get that moment. And his career obviously was traded by the Royals midseason, and we were excited that he got on the World Series roster, and then he had his moment, his one chance to make an impact in the World Series to this point in time, and boy, did he deliver. Would have just tied the game, which would have been huge in its own right, right? And then it ends up being a game-winning hit. Unbelievable, and it's been a fun series down in Arlington between the Dodgers and the Rays. Next up on what's trending, NFL around the league. We mentioned the big game between Pittsburgh and Tennessee, two unbeatens at the time, and now just one remaining unbeaten in the National Football League. Pittsburgh got the win over Tennessee. Needed to squeak it out after all. They led 24-7, ended up with a 27-24 lead. The Titans made it very interesting. Steven Gostkowski would miss the field goal late, but 6-0 start for the second time in team history for the Pittsburgh Steelers. That was certainly a notable game and impacting the top spot in the AFC, just one bye week this year. The Bills, a little more challenging than people thought, an 18-10 win over the New York Jets. And then another result that certainly was fun down the stretch involved a pair of AFC North teams, Cleveland and Cincinnati. 37-34 win for Baker Mayfield and the Browns. They got to 5-2 now on the season. Man, Cincinnati should have won that football game.
Should have been knocked out of Survivor.
He would have. I was rooting for that to happen.
He lives.
Definitely was rooting for that.
He's never in doubt.
Cincinnati won 5-1. But Cincy, who's won 5-1, you still get the sense like they are on the right track. There's a difference between some of these other teams that have one or two wins where you're like, oh gosh, disaster. What are they doing? It seems like Joe Burrow's the quarterback. Legit guy. T. Higgins, legit wide receiver. Tyler Boyd, legit wide receiver, and what he's been able to do this year.
We know Mixon can play.
Yeah, and he was out of that game too, and they still had a chance to win. No Joe Mixon. Giovanni Bernard was the guy.
Yeah, so, they got a lot of talent.
For Cleveland.
Just depends on where it goes from there. Number four for what's trending. The NFL announced some punishment for the Tennessee Titans over their breaking of COVID-19 protocols that caused some games to be fined or to be moved around. They were fined $350,000 following a league investigation into their outbreak. Had a total of 24 members of their organization test positive. Led to two postponements, as we said. That is a fair amount of money. Although, again, I think they decided to hit him with money because they realized they couldn't really or wouldn't really hit them with draft pick compensation or with player suspensions. It's pretty clear they bungled the hell out of this. The Raiders are also expected to take another fine down even after their head coach got fined, what, $200,000, John Gruden? Not that long ago. So, you know, and now he's frustrated. You know, there's just so much going on. Fines will only do so much, but $350,000 fine is probably big enough to at least deter someone.
Yeah, I mean, the Titans didn't get the heavy hammer that people were hoping for. The Raiders sounds like it'll be something probably in the same realm as well, and some of the limitations. Let's hope these are the only two teams that we talk about that had, you know, clear violations of protocols. Other teams are going to have positive tests, but if you can at least follow the protocols, it seems like the NFL is going to be able to have a good stranglehold on where things are at within their own sport. Remember, this past week actually was a pretty good week for it overall, except for the Raiders. I mean, it's really just been deep down the Raiders and Titans. Other than that, yeah, there's been positive tests, but the league's done a really nice job. They've been very fortunate as well, because the scheduling gets awfully tricky here in about 3 weeks when everybody just about will already have their byes to move things around.
They also haven't been moving games around for one or two positive tests and instead just
retesting,
and playing these games.
Next up on what's trending, we talked about Cleveland a second ago. Some bad news out there with their wide receiver, Odell Beckham Jr., done for the season, tore his ACL, and it happened on a Baker Mayfield interception. Odell was trying to make a tackle off the INT return, and he kind of like jumped in the air, and then it looked like a player of his kind of got caught in between him and then caused him to land awkwardly or, you know, or certainly twist his knee a little bit. Done for the season. Was having a really nice season there for Cleveland, and a big, big loss for the Browns. Jarvis Landry had OBJ opposite him, and now they're going to have to fill some holes there. Nick Chubb should be back right here pretty soon. Kareem Hunt, though, has done a nice job filling in, to say the least.
Kareem Hunt's very good. That's why. Lastly, on what's trending, news into The Athletic. ESPN officially canceling its plans to hold a college basketball bubble inside of Orlando. If you weren't tracking that story, essentially what ESPN was trying to do was hold a small bubble at Disney for college basketball, just leading into the regular season play for a number of these tournaments. Apparently trying to cancel their plans, still looking to maybe do a Champions Classic, a smaller group of teams inside of that. But this will have scheduling changes for a number of teams across college basketball. People wondering now if other schools, including schools like Kansas, might try to do smaller tournaments in or around their campuses in order to get some of those games in they were expecting to have.
Yeah, bummer there. Certainly impacts the college basketball season a little bit. And I, you know, at this point, just see if they can find a way. Whatever they got to do to get an NCAA tournament. I need to have an NCAA tournament this year. I don't care what they have to do with the regular season. If they have to go just move around the conference schedules and all that, this is fine. It's a bummer for some of, I think, the other schools that are non-Power 5 that are trying to find those marquee wins. We still don't have a firm understanding of exactly how the committee's going to approach this season and how it's going to all factor in, everything like that.
Yes.
Everything else has been pushed back from the NCAA. Remember, here we are in end of October, and we haven't got any news on the whole NCAA investigation type of stuff. I saw over the weekend Arizona got hammered by the NCAA with very similar type of violations and show cause for Sean Miller and all that. But here we are. We're still waiting on the result from Kansas's independent review panel, and that because of COVID, they haven't been able to meet. So I get the sense that we're not going to have that answer this year. So if you were hoping that KU is going to get in trouble for this year's NCAA tournament, doesn't seem like it necessarily as far as this year being a postseason ban, because here we are end of October. The season starts pretty soon. I would imagine they would have needed to make that announcement before this year's up. Could be wrong, but to me, you don't start a season and then all of a sudden midseason say that year's team, for something that happened 4 years ago, 3 years ago, can't do it. Now, you want to say that at the end of this season, you make an announcement, of course, you would impact the next year, but you shouldn't be able to make an announcement in February, let's say, Cody, 3 weeks before the NCAA tournament or something, and say that this year's team suddenly is impacted something for the prior team.
No, but if you're a Kansas fan, the fact that Arizona got hit with 5 level 1 allegations violating responsibility, could end up in a postseason ban for multi-years and a full season suspension for Miller.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean anything for them, Cody. They already had this news. Arizona's getting the news that they already had.
I know.
Like the allegations, all the potential show cause stuff, that's already been handed to Kansas. This the Arizona thing, they're finally getting what Kansas has been accused of as well. They still have to go through their Kansas hasn't even finished up their independent review
panel.
Kansas
did get like the last couple, both Kansas and Arizona, have gotten hit with a crazy amount of level one violations considering things. It's nuts.
Well, the difference, not to get too deep into it, but the evidence that's there is potentially greater than ever before because the FBI did all the work for the NCAA, and we've talked about that a little bit. But that thing seems like it might not be decided until after this season anyway. But that's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Of course, we're talking about the different ways to win for Kansas City, but in particular, this defense. And there was emergence from one guy in particular. Seems to be a positive direction this defense is heading in, and that was the linebacker core. So overall, one of the biggest complaints about the team, if we go back and were to replay the audio from week one, week two, week three, really though, week one and two, it was a lot of discussion about the linebacking core for Kansas City. Ben Neiman, Anthony Hitchens, Damian Wilson, and how they were playing. If you fast forward now to not only this performance against the Broncos, but go back to last Monday against the Buffalo Bills, Anthony Hitchens and Damian Wilson may have had their two best games of the season.
Probably.
And then now we saw a guy that we've been waiting to see quite a bit this year, rookie Willie Gay. He got 51-53% of the snaps, by far way more than we had seen. I mean, this was a guy that was getting one snap, two snaps, three snaps. Not including special teams.
And like 10%. Like it has been a real slow build for him.
And maybe it just takes some time. I think that's what we're seeing. You know, Spags had been asked about it a couple times over the last month or so and learning this defense a little bit. And because the snaps were up, it did mean a little less Ben Neiman on the field. And obviously Ben Neiman, he's made his mark on the roster for a reason. But
that has been an issue, his position in particular.
Sure. He struggled.
Willie Gay Jr., to get him in there with his athleticism, and you saw it in coverage, specifically against Denver there on Sunday. So I think that's a real positive if you're trying to find an individual that we hadn't seen a whole lot. It sounds like, all right, he's got a better grasp. For them to give him that kind of snap count, he's starting to get a better grasp of the defense. And ultimately, once you get the – if he starts understanding where he's supposed to be, there's no doubt he's the best athlete in that linebacker core.
Of course. He's their best linebacker. He's their best coverage linebacker. And that's where, like, you know, you talk about, like, that Sam position or whatever. Like, that's where you need to start using him more. And obviously, he's decent in special teams, but Dave Tobias told us before, really, until you get to that, like, 70-80% mark of offensive play, he doesn't really have to dial back the amount of special teams you play. And with him just playing 50% of the snaps so far, you're not there. But he only played 6 less snaps than Anthony Hitchens. That's it. Just 6. Like, so that gap is closing. And that's where, like, you know, you and I kind of disagreed a little bit, where it's like, well, they'll get better. I'm like, well, sometimes people get worse. And I do think we definitely should acknowledge that sometimes players or units or whatever,
regression,
you know, regression occurs inside of a season. Everybody doesn't just get better. Sometimes people, now the Chiefs have been really good about maintaining that.
I was going to say, who's regressed right now overall, would you say, has been a major regressor?
From last year? Ward? Charvarius?
I would say, but he's been hurt. I would argue
but it
injury.
Doesn't matter, but he has regressed. Like, I understand what you're saying, like, the reason for said regression is injury. Respect. I probably agree with you that that's been a bigger part of the problem.
And I thought he played great this past
year. The rest of it, yesterday. He did play great. But, like, as a season, you would say so far this year, he hasn't played as well as he did last year. There's several reasons why that would have been the case. And I'm not arguing injury certainly wouldn't have been a case for it. You could argue Beniman's regressed. But again, most of the guys they need to step up have, right? DeMarcus Robinson maybe regressed. It's small. It's all small stuff. Nobody in the major core players that I would even have made that argument. And as a whole, everyone's regression could be just chalked up to the fact that they haven't needed anybody to do those things, especially on offense because of how good they've been. I want, like, from here on out, I think Willie Gay should start every game because he is their best option at coverage linebacker. He tipped 2 passes. He was all over the field. He clearly is probably not always in the best position. He's going to miss some assignments. But for, you know, it's the same thing we always talk about. For the Chiefs, it's not about what they look like for these 16 games. It's what they look like for the other 3 or 4. And to make sure they look the way they're supposed to for the other 3 or 4, let's make sure we get him in these games and make sure he's comfortable. And they've done a real slow build with Willie Gay.
So I like seeing that. There's a lot of things to like, but in particular, if you're trying to see something we've been asking for, or at least wondering about from day one, before the season started, is where's he at? When is he going to have an opportunity? And we got our answer, and hopefully he continues to build on that overall. Reminder coming up in about 30 minutes at 2:15. Patrick Mahomes will join the guys on the drive exclusively, as he does each and every Monday. That's 2:15 coming up with Carrington and Sean over on the Smitty's Garage Burger and Beer text line. A couple of people saying the offensive line has regressed. Someone else says Harrison Butker. Thanks, Cody. LOL.
On the extra point game,
he was good to the final extra point. Otherwise, he was making kicks in the snow there. Just that one extra point at the very end of the game was. But you heard from Andy Reid in the noon hour today. He was specifically asked, I think it was Herbie that asked the question, Herbie Teope, but
he did.
Asked the question about Butker.
Well, if you notice, he was lining up at a different hash to kick.
Yeah, on the extra points. Was it just on the extra points or was on the kick? I think it was just on, well, obviously
well,
just
on the kicks,
extra, sorry.
He can't necessarily
just on the extra.
It,
I'm sorry, yeah. The extra points.
Yeah, the extra points.
The extra
he
points,
has.
He went to the right instead of the left, mm-hmm. which was kind of interesting. So, but Andy.
Still missed one.
Andy is acting as though he was not concerned about it one bit.
Well, I hope Andy's right. I'm not concerned about it either. That's why I'll continue to proudly wear my Harrison Butker hoodie, even though I've now unpacked the rest of my hoodies. So I finally found the box full of the rest of them. So I don't have to just wear that one, but here we are. I'm still going to keep living my life. Again, it's a small grouping of players. It's not, but it's always a concern at any point in the middle of the season about that being the case. Like Daniel Sorensen over the last 2 years has been a really good player for Kansas City. But before that, he was on a downward trajectory of like, I think he should be cut. Now, it turns out that was incorrect, and it was a Bob Sutton usage issue more than it was a Dan Sorensen problem. But he has games sometimes where you're like, what happened here today, Dan? And then he has plenty of games where you're like, there's Dan. He's Dirty Dan. He's doing the job he's supposed to. So it's like it's a mixed bag. And with this team right now, I feel like they can still have plenty of things just not be perfectly played and still beat a team by 30. That's what happened yesterday. They didn't even play perfect offensively, 1 by 30. Didn't play perfect defensively because they had trouble in the run-stopping game, although they were good pretty much everywhere else. 1 by 30. Special teams were maybe their best game of the season, so that helps. But still, I mean, this team can do so many things better as the season goes on, and they're not having any trouble with most of their opponents right now. That one Raiders loss seemingly being the exception, and then a couple of close games against okay opponents.
So the Chiefs, of course, will get the Jets on Sunday at Arrowhead, and then you got the Panthers following that one up before a bye week, and then the Las Vegas Raiders. The Pittsburgh Steelers, we were talking about them, their schedule continues to get a little bit tougher. They will take on the Baltimore Ravens. That'll be one game that will be the huge focus to keep an eye on as far as the AFC. The Chiefs trying to get the Steelers to come back to the pack a little bit, and certainly the Ravens would be a big help at that. But look, I think, you know, the Chiefs, this next game, it'll be we were doing our Survivor League picks, and it seems like that'll be the popular pick. I do have to point out the Survivor League a little bit. So this past week, all of us advanced.
Again.
Nobody struck out whatsoever.
Who was the closest to death? Probably that
Philly,
Thursday night game.
So Ryan and Rob each had a strike.
God, they should have both been knocked out.
They each had a strike. Serta's probably right there because he had Cleveland.
At least that game was close the entire time. Philly had like the lead the entire time of that. Or not the other way, but yeah.
Well, Cleveland and Cincinnati was back and forth the whole entire game.
Yeah, Serta was like always.
Yeah, game was great.
It was a fantastic game. So Baker gets
never
delayed.
Worried for a second.
The Baker get that's not what the texts say. Baker Baker late got the touchdown, and so Cleveland survived. And then a lot of people picked the Chargers, and there was a dicey like 6.5 minutes in that Chargers Jacksonville game for you.
And there are how many minutes was, in a
exactly
in an NFL game?
But you,
I just went 6.5. It was 29-29. And I'm like.
Cody Tapp's LA Chargers were up 16-0, and then they gave it like 21 straight. And so things got a little interesting. So they survived, and then Pete and I went with Buffalo. It was an easy pick. A little closer than we would have
sweated
thought.
A little more than you would have liked.
It was one of those where you had to pay attention. The Jets had 2 yards or 4 yards of total offense in the second half, so that part. But they only won by 8, which was a surprising part. So we're all moving on. Thursday at 12:30, we'll have our picks. A lot of people will be picking Kansas City against the Jets.
Well, I didn't wait this entire time with the Chiefs just to not pick them when they're playing
Jets. You can pick them next week after that against Carolina.
Do you know how few? Yes, but just Carolina's a much better team. Do you know how?
It's still the Chiefs.
I understand. They're definitely going to beat Carolina. But the question is, how often in Survivor do you get this lockdown of a win? Like, just guarantee yourself... No chance at a loss.
Never. New England, like a year or two ago when they had a 21-point, or they were a 21-point favorite, something like that.
For the people who chose me, dear 610 radio listeners who chose me for Survivor, I'm not going to get cute with it. And at times it might be boring to ride with me during Survivor. I'll admit.
Yes.
I didn't have a fun Jets game to be rooting for. I didn't choose like the Bengals and the Browns and
the Raiders
like gold. But you know what we're going to do? Get dubs. We're here to get dubs. We're trying to get to the finish line. And there's still like 5 or 6. I can't even like goof around with it yet. It's like 5 or 6 teams that don't even have a strike. Got to ensure my safety here. I'm picking the Jets. I took the Chargers this week. That was risky-ish. That's a one-win team.
Take the Titans.
Please, go ahead.
The Titans, eh?
Yeah, they're going to beat the Bengals. They're not going to lose the Bengals.
Dude, you got to stop riding against the Bengals. They're going to beat someone.
It's not going to be the Titans.
You were running a risk, sir.
I mean, looking at the Titans' schedule, the only other week where you would pick them and feel confident, Texans the last week of the season and the Jags. That's probably it. Because, I
mean, taking the
then they get the Bears after that. No, even though we think they're better, can't do that. So, okay, we'll find that out Thursday at 12:30.
The final word.
The final word, I'm not going to do it on sports. Early in the show, if you go on Cody's Twitter account, at Cody B. Tab, you might have noticed where there's a very heated discussion. Cody typically tweets and usually texts us as well. More texts than tweets. Serta does this also. Whatever they're baking, whatever they're cooking. Serta sent a photo of the tacos he made the other night. And was like, these are some bomb tacos. And they looked really good. And then sometimes it looks good. And then other times you have photos and you're like, what the hell is it? And that's what I felt like when Cody tweeted out and texted a photo of this
looks
thing.
Looks like a delicious loaf
thing
of bread.
That is apparently a loaf of bread. It looks like it could be like a fruitcake or something like that. I have no idea.
What that is a delicious loaf of bread with caramelized onion, prosciutto, and cheese on top.
Yeah, I will say.
Looks good. I'd love
there were multiple people that respond, because you asked the question, said Gold says his bread doesn't look like it tastes good. I am offended. And you basically were asking people to comment. There were multiple people that said, what is it? That's not a good sign. If they say, what is it?
It was two. And one was joking. And one was Chris Unocero, a person we inherently do not trust.
Yeah, he's also very generic in his food tastes.
I just like to know what the food is when I look at it. If I can't tell, it didn't look like bread from the text.
Not at all.
That's going to do it for us. You go enjoy your loaf of whatever the heck that is. We're back at it tomorrow from 10 to 2. For now, we hand it off to The Drive. Patrick Mahomes coming up next.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.